morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist, consultant. I love to help people with their gardens and just learn how to plant and beautiful flowers here in Florida, or trees or shrubs, or grow vegetables. We can do it all here in Florida. We're really blessed to have gardening all year round, whether you like to grow flowers or vegetables, which is great. So we have a warm day ahead of us. Weekend, we're coming up next week, a lot of rain. We're going to get about 6 inches throughout the state of Florida. So you want to make sure your irrigation system is turned off, or has it with a automatic timer on it, rain shutoff device that shuts it off after you've had an inch and a half of water in your landscape. So whether it's rainfall or irrigation, your landscapes, now this is established landscapes. These are landscapes that have been in the ground for years, does not need a lot of water. It needs about an inch and a half of water a week. Okay, now if your landscape is new, or you have planted new shrubs and flowers in it, they're going to need a little bit more, and I would do it through the summertime into the fall, where you water it, hand water it, maybe 2-3 times a week, just to make sure that it's getting off to a good start, especially in this heat. And this heat is very stressful. We can plant year round, but you want to make sure that when you're watering, and especially when you're planting it, if you're planting a shrub or tree, I would soak the hole that you dug for the plant 2-3 times. Let it fill up and percolate. Let it fill up and percolate. I would do that 3 times, and then put your root ball in the ground and then water it well again. What that's going to do is it's not going to suck. If it was dry soil around the root ball, it would suck the water out. So now you've saturated that hole. It's got enough water in it that when you put the root ball in it and you rewater it again to water it in, it's going to stay there and at least get that plant off to a good start. So let's go to the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
So the dirty word of the day I learned this week, and I've never heard of it before, so I wanted to bring it to you. And I have 2 other words that I want to make sure that you understand the meaning of. So the dirty word of the day is glomalin, G-L-O-M-A-L-I-N. Glomalin are durable proteins that contain sugar, and they're produced by arbuscula. Say that correctly.
That's good.
Arbuscula mycorrhizal fungi. Okay, so I think everybody knows what mycorrhizal fungi is, and that's the little white filaments that you see in the root system as you're digging up a root, or you're seeing it in the compost, that white mycorrhizal fungi. And so arbuscula means it's tree-like. So these glomalin is tree-like fungi. When they form symbiotic relationships with most terrestrial plants, they extend their reach into the soil through tubular filaments called hyphae. H-Y-P-H-A-E, hyphae. Glomalin coats these hyphae, protecting their nutrient transport structures, while simultaneously strengthening soil systems. Its persistence can last 10 to 50 years, making it a fundamental contributor to long-term soil health, carbon strategic storage, and erosion resistance. So this is a very important discovery that happened in 1996 by Dr. Sarah Wright. She's with the USDA Agricultural Research Service. She's a soil scientist who observed a distinct heat-stable protein tightly bound to the fungi hyphae. Her work revealed that this substance was responsible for much of the soil stability previously attributed to organic matter. So this fungi extends far beyond the nutrient-depleted zones surrounding roots and root hairs. This expanded network allows plants to access immobile nutrients, particularly phosphorus, making it more efficiently absorbed. As hyphae grow, they create a physical framework upon which soil particles accumulate. Glomalin acts like a glue, binding these particles into stable aggregate. So the soil structure, this is kind of a kind of metaphor. Soil structure can be compared to building a wall. The hyphae, those little filament roots, are the boards forming the frame. Soil particles act as insulation, filling the spaces. Glomalin and fungal bacteria serve as the wall board, holding everything together. Then glomalin's protective coating functions like paint, sealing, and protecting the outer structure. So all in all, this glomalin is very, very important to your plants and to the root system. So there are many non-mycorrhizal crops like canola, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflowers that do not produce glomalin. And so glomalin is, we still don't know everything about it. We don't know what causes it to react. And so you're going to want to stay glued to your seats to learn more research as we learn more about glomalin and how it works for and with plants. So the dirty word of the day is glomalin. It is a glue-like substance that helps protect the root system. So I'm very excited about that. So we're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and if you have a gardening question, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and we will get you the correct answers. Pinky in Port Orange, she says, when should I order and plant Isham red garlic? She had great success with it last year, but she forgot when she planted it. She said, thanks for all you do. And so, Lizzie, yeah, thank you. She really appreciates the show.
Yes.
So Pinky is a longtime listener. So, Pinky, garlic needs to be planted in the fall so that you can harvest it next summer. So get the seeds now and then go ahead and plant them in August and September, and you will be really harvesting the garlic next summer. That'll be great.
Yes, I've been doing garlic the last couple of years, and I absolutely love that. And they have a thing called elephant garlic.
Yes.
That's a game changer.
Okay, so do you eat the green stalks that come, that are called scapes, as the plant grows? Do you cut that off?
No, because I am such an amateur at gardening that I go by the, I'm afraid that if I did that, then I'm not going to know when to actually pull the garlic, because I go by the browning of the leaves. So I'm afraid if I cut it off, then okay, what's going to happen?
Okay, really, really good point. So let me just tell people how you can, from the store, you can plant a clove of garlic. So you want to break apart a healthy garlic bulb, and then you pick the largest outer clusters, and you want to keep that paper sheath on them. So you don't want to remove the kind of like the skin on the outside. Then you go ahead and you plant it in the ground 2 to 4 inches deep, and you want it pointing up. So you want the base of the garlic to be down in the ground. And then as the green stalks come up, that's called a scape. That's when you start to remove those scapes, and you can use them in your salads or your soups or your recipes. And Lizzie, that's going to help push all that energy into growing bigger garlic. So when
yes,
you grow the stems, when the scapes come up, that's going to take away energy from the garlic. And then how do you know when to harvest it is? Well, go ahead and put it on the calendar so that when you plant it, then you know, 9 months later, you're going to be harvesting it.
Okay.
Right. And then just mark on the calendar. And then if you tell me, I'll tell you to go ahead and harvest it.
Okay, I'm an amateur. I've always taken the time to peel off that silk Okay.
Yes.
Obviously, that's not what you're supposed to do.
No, you don't need to do it.
So I did that. And
and you still got great garlic.
Yeah, but not big garlic because I didn't realize how. And then all the energy was going into growing the stems.
Yeah, the scapes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and where I got my garlic, I've always got my garlic from, is like, this is so silly, but I go to Publix.
Yeah.
And I find the garlic that I like there. And that's where I got the elephant garlic.
Yeah.
And so,
that's a great place to get it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you like cooking with it, you know you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and buy one and grow your own.
Yes.
So you can just pull all those pieces apart. You can get four or five, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to get the biggest pieces. Mm-hmm. And, and get the elephant garlic.
Yep.
What do you cook with the garlic?
Everything.
Do you?
Actually, I put garlic in just about everything, just for health purposes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I do that with onions, too. Onions and garlic.
It's a guarantee.
Go. Everything goes in onions and garlic.
Yes, I agree.
There you go. So you want to make sure you're watering it so well, too, as well. And then you can remove you can let the stems come up just a wee bit. So, but in early spring, you want to remove them.
Okay, so just pretend. We're not saying this is going to happen. Say we have a freeze in January-ish. Uh-huh. What are we supposed to do? Anything other than just covering like we would our normal plants?
You don't even need to cover them. They can take the cold.
Okay.
They can take the cold. They can take Florida cold.
Yes.
Okay. So they'll be just fine.
Okay.
Okay. And then as it comes up, you know, 6 inches, then you go ahead and cut it off. You don't want it to put its energy into those stems.
It was crazy. My last, one of my biggest elephant garlic that grew this last season, instead of having the little cloves, I guess, is that what you call it?
Yeah, they're cloves.
No, it was one big, gigantic clove that could fit in the palm of my hand.
Wow.
Just one.
Wow.
I was very proud of myself.
Sure.
I was like, thank you, dear Jesus.
You should be.
But I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Eat it like an apple?
Make garlic sandwiches. There you go. All right. 1-888-455-2967. We'll talk about what your garlic looks like. Or you can text 23680. And the highs in August average around 92 degrees, okay? And the lows are in the low 70s. We get 6.5 inches of rain during during the month of August on a general rule. But this next week, we're hoping that we're going to have about 6 inches for the week. And if that is the case, then that's going to bring our aquifer up, and we really definitely need it. And so then, knock on wood, no tropical storms in the near future, or hurricanes. So that's going to be great. So what can you be planting this month? We're getting into August. Cantaloupes and collards and corn, cucumbers and eggplants, lima beans and okra, peppers and pumpkins, snap beans and southern peas, squash, tomatillas, watermelon, and tropical spinaches. Tropical spinaches are really, really very good, and they really have a lot of nutrition in them. Tropical spinaches like Malabar spinach, Okinawa spinach, longevity spinach, and while they're not true spinaches, they are leafy greens, and they will grow all year round because spinach is... The true spinach, Spinachia alariciae, is a winter vegetable, okay? But tropical spinaches can be grown and harvested all summer long, all year round, you know, so that's good. So Malabar spinach has a couple of different names, Ceylon spinach, climbing spinach, gut alciga, Abratana lobato, vine spinach, and Malabar nightshade. Don't worry about the name. This vining plant's edible leaves resemble those of spinach and can be used the same way. It's originally from India, and when cooked, spinach is less slick in texture, and in Bengali cuisine, its popularity goes with chopped onions, hot chilies, and a little mustard oil. Now, why does that make me think of Dr. Gary Bachman?
100%.
You know, chopped onions, hot chilies, and a little mustard oil. And so he's going to be here in October. So I'm looking forward to that. So Malabar spinach grows well from either seeds or you can do cuttings. And the vines perform best when grown on a trellis. Two plants, all you need are two plants, two Malabar spinach plants, can produce enough quantities of leaves to provide a small family with greens during summer and fall. So you just keep cutting the leaves and then they grow back again and you cut it some more. So it's a really great way to have an edible landscape. It's a pretty vine, and then it gets to feed your family. It's a great thing, for children to know. Now, Okinawa spinach and longevity spinach are also heat tolerant, and they grow low though, which means they can make a great edible ground cover. The flavorful leaves can be juiced. They can be added raw to fresh salads, smoothies, or steamed and cooked in stir-fry soups and quiches. That's an interesting spinach, a Malabar spinach or an Okinawa spinach quiche. Okay, and so the leaves can be reddish color, and they are two species of Okinawa spinach. So they have a bicolored one, which has green and purplish. I say red because it looks red to me. But it's in the same family as sunflowers. It's native to Japan, northeastern India, to Nepal, Myanmar, and then also southern China. So again, you can grow them in full sun. They kind of do like a little bit of shade if you've got really, really hot areas down in South Florida. Treat them as annuals, but you can go ahead and before the wintertime, you cut off a vine and you start growing it in a pot. And then over the winter in early spring, then you can plant them in the ground again. So you really don't need to buy a lot of plants. They do get to be 2 to 3 feet tall. But again, when you're cutting them often, it won't get to be that tall when you're eating it a lot.
Yes.
And so it's really good. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and we will get to everything that you would like to discuss. Let me see here. I've got some more on my what-to-do list. So I told you what vegetables to plant. Herbs, you can go ahead and be planting those now. Anise and basil, bay laurel and chives, dill, ginger and lemon balm. Mexican tarragon, which can take the heat, mint, which you can't kill, oregano and rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. And if you're growing them in pots, you can put them in the shade. The herbs will do really well and will, you know, not get as wilted from the sun as they do in the summertime. But you can plant them and put them in the shade and they will grow just as well. So what should you be doing? Well, right now, over the last few weeks, I'm walking through my clients' yards, and I see sod webworms coming up. So you may not see the decline yet, but those sod webworms are laying eggs, and those larvae are hatching, and they're going to eat the roots of your plants. So you do have to put down some grubicide. Just when you go to the store, just look for sod webworms on the front of the bag or the container, and it will take care of those sod webworms for you. Do it now so that your grass does not go into decline. And saying that, I just, you know, especially during the summertime, we need to be walking our yards at least once a week just to catch a major problem before it, you know, gets out of hand. And so in working with clients, they just sometimes let it go so long that there's a lot of landscape or a lot of sod that needs replaced. When you're seeing a part of your sod declining, check to see whether it's chinch bugs or sod webworms and or other kinds of disease issues. You want to catch it before it becomes a severe problem. You can also take a soil sample to your local extension office. Your extension office is one of the best things that Florida has. Check them out in your county directory. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We really want you to go to Peterson's Nursery today at 10:30. They are going to have a repotting orchids 6 inches or less in size, and they will repot two orchids for you. That's a really great service.
Oh, definitely. And everybody, and I'm included of being scared of orchids because I'm like, they're just going to die or they never bloom. But, you know, definitely go talk to Howie and Karen and they will help you get over that hump of being scared of this.
Yes. I will tell you, Lizzie, I was at a house yesterday that he was growing orchids and they were huge. They were like, they were almost 2 feet wide, Yeah. And they had leaves all coming out, and all he did was have them underneath the tree. Oop. And they were underneath trees in hanging baskets, and they were huge, and he doesn't do anything to them. I mean, they didn't look like you would put them in a, you know, multi-million dollar house,
right?
But they were growing beautifully.
Oh, nice.
And I go, your orchids are beautiful. And he says, I don't do anything to them. They just stay out there all year. I'm going, wow. So that's interesting. So here's some more things to do in August. You want to make sure you've had a good 6 months of mowing right now. So you want to make sure that you are changing and sharpening your lawnmower blades. You do not want your lawnmower blades to be dull where it's ripping off the grass blades. Okay. That's not good for your grass and it's going to lead to insects and disease issues. You want to also check your irrigation system, especially as we're coming this next week and we're getting rainfall. And you're seeing the gauge and you know you've gotten at least 1.5 inches, 2 inches, and your irrigation still comes on, that means you need to check your timer and shut down your, you know, you either need to readjust the level of your rain shutoff device. It should be set at 1.5 inches, or you need a whole new system. And a new rain shutoff device is going to cost you between $40 and $50. But it will save you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year in irrigation bills, water bills. That's very, very important. Plus, you're going to make your landscape healthier by not watering as much. Okay, so check your system. Check your pop-ups, your emitters, to make sure that they are rising above your grass blades. Okay. So as our grass grows more, sometimes, and even our shrubs and, other perennials that we have in the garden, you want to make sure that your irrigation is hitting the root system. It doesn't need to be on risers, 3-foot risers. That's not good either because overwatering and spraying the leaves can lead to disease issues. Roots are the only thing that absorb water. The leaves do not need water. Okay. And so you want to get that, those roots, the water that it needs. If it's on the leaves, it's going to evaporate and not get into the ground. You also want to make sure if you're putting in a new sod, new lawn, that they're more likely to get fungus when they're new because you're watering every day for the first week. You're watering every 2 days the second week. You're watering every 3 days the third week. And by the fourth week, you're on that schedule of twice a week watering. And so new lawns can get fungus. So apply a fungicide after you lay your new sod. Okay. Or if you're used to or you're seeing fungus in your landscape now, then you want to make sure you put on your schedule that next year, in June and July, you spray a fungicide to prevent it. Okay, once you have the fungus, there's nothing you can do about it but let it dry out. It will eventually go away and hopefully before it takes all of your yard. But if you spray the fungicide before, it will prevent it. So that's when you need to do it. I've been seeing a lot of mushrooms in the soil. So in your lawns, mushrooms in your yard too?
Oh, yes, definitely. And in the turkey run areas too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're not the edible mushrooms, are they?
They're pretty. I wouldn't eat them.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat them in the turkey pen either. So good decision right there. Yeah, that's a good decision. Okay, so mushrooms, if you're seeing it, that just means you have a lot of organic material in the ground and those air spores, those fungi are taking root and they're going to go ahead and spread. They're going to be gone. Once the rainy season gets over with, they'll be gone. No neat reason to do anything. Now, if you see the ones that are called stink mushrooms, the stinkhorns, then you want to go ahead and get rid of those. Those are poisonous. You don't want those around. Also, too, you can be pruning time for azaleas. No, you do not want to be pruning azaleas now. You do not want to be pruning camellias or your gardenias now. It's over. You want them to go ahead and start the blooms for next spring. If your azaleas, you're only getting blooms on the inside of the shrub, then you're pruning it too often. And this happens a lot when you have a landscape maintenance company, because by God, they love to prune, okay? And prune. They want those shrubs straight, and you're cutting all the blooms off. If you're cutting the blooms off, or you can't get across your sidewalk when that shrub grows out and starts to get big, then it's the wrong plant in the wrong place. So don't prune azaleas, camellias, or gardenias for the rest of the year. Give your palms a break. You only want to remove dead fronds. So only brown fronds remove. Palm trees need their leaves to go through photosynthesis, create chlorophyll. They need those fronds. Do not cut them off. Sometimes you'll see landscape companies doing hurricane pruning. Do not do that. Palms are used to being in hurricanes. And the more fronds they have, the more green fronds they have, they're going to be able to withstand a storm. So don't worry about that. But if you cut it and you're cutting off too many fronds, it may snap in the wind. Those fronds hold back the wind. So Mother Nature knows how to do it. Also, so if you have your inside poinsettias, Lizzie, now's the time to go ahead and pinch them back. You can prune them back, and so you can cut back wisteria now and poinsettias.
Okay, good.
Okay, so when you go home, the ones that are still living indoors, you can go ahead and just cut them back. They'll get nice and thick that way.
Yes.
Okay. Avoid trimming sheared plants back to the same height. So when you're cutting your hedge, okay, think about this. You want the top of the shrub to be smaller than the bottom of the shrub. You want to cut at a slight angle. That's going to allow the leaves on the bottom to stay nice and thick. If you cut the shrub straight, and most people cut shrubs in August, you can cut your hibiscus back, you can cut all of your thryallis back, your plumbago back right now if you want. If they're too big, you can go ahead and cut those back. But you want to make sure that if you're doing the podocarpus, if you're doing the ligustrums and the viburnums, you want to leave the bottom of the hedge larger than the top, and you don't want to cut straight down. When you cut straight down, the leaves at the bottom don't get any sunlight, and it creates what I call bare bottom syndrome, where you can look through the bottom of the shrubs. And so you don't want to do that. Cut them at a slight angle. From the street, they'll look straight, and they will be nice and full, and you'll be very happy. We've just got 15 minutes more. You can get your gardening questions answered. 1-888-455-2967. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to the award-winning Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. So what can you be doing in the month of August? You can be calling 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 with your gardening questions. But you can also divide your bromeliads, your Shasta daisies, daylilies, and other perennials. You can be transplanting palm trees and sagos. Now's the time of the year to do it. Also, too, you can start your poinsettia cuttings. If you have poinsettias and they're nice and large, and they do very well here in Florida, you can make extra poinsettias now. And then you can also, too, make sure that you are pinching back this month your chrysanthemums. If you're growing chrysanthemums in your yard or in pots, April and August is a time that you pinch them. And that's going to lead to a much denser plant, and they're going to look beautiful for the fall. This is also the time of the year to feed your water lilies. Okay, you will take little pellets and you will put them into the pot, and then you can put them back in the water. You can go ahead and check your pineapples. The fruits are ready when they're very fragrant. You got to get them before the raccoons and the birds. They get them in the squirrels. You want them to, when they turn yellow to orange, get them before that. And they will ripen on your counter. You also want to feed your bananas and figs monthly, but very lightly. So keep moist and mulched. Okay, so the rain we have no problem with, but you want to mulch them, and that's going to keep the moisture in the ground. Also, too, you can give grapes and apples and peaches. Now's the time to be fertilizing them as well. You can also be planting seeds of melons and pumpkins. So lots to do in the month of August as we get ready to go back to school. Lots of things to do in your vegetable garden, in your landscape. And we can, very easily, have a wonderful fall garden. 1-888. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. It didn't move up. Hold on just a second. Nope. Do not see them, hon. What's the question?
Okay. It says, Georgette, we have volunteer sweet potatoes from sprouted kitchen potatoes planted last year. They were not successful then, but have taken over our garden now. When do I harvest them and when to put them in for the next season?
Okay, so you want to harvest them in the fall. You can September and October. So I would say, how do you know when to harvest them? Pull one up and see how big it is, okay? And then if it's a nice size for you and you think that, you're ready to harvest them, go ahead and pull them up. Then you can also plant them again in the springtime. Okay, so you want to save some in some of the eyes, and you can put them back in the ground. So harvesting them, if they're all over your yard, I don't know what they look like or how big they are, but you can harvest them, pull one up and see. If not, stick it back in the ground for a little while longer and then try in another 2 to 3 weeks. Great question. So ivy, we've heard of growing ivy, and sometimes I see it growing up trees. You don't want to let the ivy do that. It attaches to the bark. And if you have to remove that ivy, which you should, then it's going to pull that bark off, that hard layer that protects the cambium. So you want to make sure you're pulling it up. That it looks romantic growing up bricks, but again, the roots get into the grout of your brickwork, and it will loosen the bricks. They start to hold on to moisture. That's going to cause mildew in your house. You don't want to do that mildew on the outside too as well. So, keeping ivy in the ground, make sure you're just going ahead and weed eating it or mowing it, and then keeping it off of your trees and walls. Let's go to Brad in Winter Haven. Good morning, Brad. How can I help you?
Good morning. Have a question. I have these huge Norfolk Island pines in my yard. I grew them up from Christmas trees.
Yes.
They're probably 15 to 20 years old. I live in Winter Haven, and they got very damaged during the freeze.
Uh-huh.
And some are starting to come back at the top, a little bit at the sides. There's some that are completely no growth. And I was going to be having some tree work done. I don't know whether to have them cut down to the ground, or if they have a little green at the top, do you think they'll come back?
So they're going to come back, Brad, but it's not going to be a pretty tree. Okay, so they're going to look scraggly, okay. And the brown branches, you can go ahead and cut them off. Now, if when you're doing the tree work, they cut the brown branches off, you'll see it recover a little bit faster, so you'll see the growth coming out. So I'm just going to say it's an aesthetic issue, and it's up to you.
Okay.
Got it. So they're not dead, so they will come out, but it may take, you know how slow they grow, and so it may take a couple, 2 to 3 years for it to fully recover, and do you want to look at it that long? So it's strictly they will recover, they're growing now, just how long do you want to wait, especially when they're that tall?
Okay. So let's say there's one that has absolutely no green on it right now.
Right.
Do you think that one's probably dead?
Yes.
Okay. All okay. Right. I could probably take that one down.
Yeah, I would go ahead while you got the arborist there, get your money's worth and have them take them down. But if it's got all some right, green great. On it, you might want to leave it.
Got it. All righty. I'll do that.
Thank you, Brad, for listening. Appreciate you calling in. Yeah, we're still seeing a lot of those Norfolk Island pines. I'm even seeing mango tree on our street. The mango is all dead on the outside, but it is chock full on the inside of brand new leaves. And I don't think those brown mango leaves are going to fall off unless we have a storm or something. Hmm. So it's just an issue. It's aesthetics. You know, do you want it to grow through the dead branches? You know, or do you want to go ahead and cut it back and let it flush out correctly, which it will do, and it will not need that shade. Mangoes don't need shade. Papayas don't need shade. And Norfolk Island pines don't need shade. So they will all grow in the full sun. So, Lizzie, I'd like everyone to go to our Facebook page, please, and like us. And you can also see today the top five wacky and offbeat art pieces that I saw in Buffalo, New York. Yes. And then also, too, they can sign up for my newsletter on my webpage, which is www.she-consulting.com. She-consulting.com. And we'll be talking about that.
We have another text asking a recommendation for fungus products on grass. A large area, Port St. Lucie, about 100 square feet under oaks.
Yeah, any fungicide on the shelf will be fine. You can use neem 85-2 as well, neem oil, but a fungicide, Dacanil, or any of the products that are on the shelf that say fungicide will work on grass in Port St. Lucie in the shade. So just go see what's on there, what's the best price. And follow the instructions to the letter. That's very, very important.
Yeah. More is not better.
Right. More is not better. No, you can do some damage with it, but you're wasting the product too as well.
Very true.
So follow the instructions. It's not going to stop that fungus. You just want it to dry out. So if I had your irrigation system on, it should only come on once a week right now. I think Port St. Lucie is under water restrictions from the South Florida Water Management District. So they only can water once a week if no rain. So they're coming up from rain. You want to let it dry out.
Yes. We also learned stop asking AI your questions.
Yes, please.
Either ask Teresa, okay, because you can always email her, teresa.watkins@live.com, or if they were to search on their search engines on the internet, what do they need to put in?
So they put their question, you know, like how to grow this or how do I prevent spiders, but always put the three letters EDU, which stands for education, EDU, and that's going to bring up university extension sites in the United States that will have the correct information. I will tell you, I see a lot of misinformation on there.
Yes.
And I see half of it's correct and half of it is wrong. And, you know, you shouldn't have to Google three websites to get the correct information.
And it also, whenever you do that, it also, whenever you go to those websites, it'll bring you to the right zone
yes.
that you're in. So.
Yes. Or you can just put in your zip code in it. So question, EDU, zip code, and you'll get the right one for the state of Florida. It is the University of Florida, EDIS, E-D-I-S, and Garden Solutions. You can get the right answers. Thank you so much for all our callers today. We certainly do appreciate you listening. I'm glad to be back. And Lizzie, thank you so much. Your work and your production helps make this show an award-winning show. So I certainly do appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you to our listeners.
Yep. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or want to recap any other shows, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.